on this seventh day of the octave of Pentecost. We also celebrate the Ember Saturday of Eastertide of Pentecost. And of course, today, in many places, in many seminaries throughout the world, young men will be ordained to the diaconate and some to the priesthood. And so it is a very, very special day. Now, yesterday I was explaining to some people who have never heard of Ember Days, they're Catholics, but how many Catholics do not know anything about their faith? 99%. And I was telling them, you know, Ember Days go back to the times of the apostles. Indeed, it is tradition that it was maybe St. Peter himself or one of the other apostles, most likely St. John the Evangelist, who started the Ember Days to prepare for the ordination of future bishops and future priests and deacons and some deacons. And so these days are set aside for extra prayers, and thus the Mass is longer. There are more readings, and there are more prayers for this day. Also, it is a day on which we are supposed to do at least partial fast and abstinence, at least before the evening. And so we prepare for that, but we also prepare in a very, very special way for the octave of Pentecost, which is tomorrow and starts this evening with the first vespers of the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. Now that the Spirit is given and he has been revealed, now we know about the fact of the Trinity, about which we shall teach tomorrow. The Trinity, in whom we are baptized, by whom we begin and end every prayer, including the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and every other prayer besides. It is the three persons of the Trinity who dwell in us by baptism, and the grace that they bring to us, and it is the Holy Spirit that leads them to us, as we will see later on this morning in the font of baptism, the womb of Holy Mother, the Church, from which are born new children for the Church and for the future. So today, as we rejoice in these wonderful events, let us give thanks to God. In addition, today we celebrate the feast of Pope St. Urban I from the early days of the Church, who was also a martyr who gave his life for Christ. Just like St. Peter's mother-in-law. Of course, his wife was long dead, but he was taking care of his mother-in-law, as is the proper thing to do, that families take care of family. She had a fever, and our Lord commanded the fever to go away. And St. Luke tells us immediately she got up and began to serve them. She cooked and did this and did that to serve them. We are not given the grace of God, the grace of baptism and so forth, to just treasure it within our hearts. It is given to us to serve the Lord, to serve his mystical body on earth, the Church, and to serve all those who have need of us. And so this is a very important thing, and it's also a very important thing for the Ember Days of Pentecost. In addition, today we celebrate another feast, one that is very dear to my heart, a pope who fought very hard for the faith and to free the Church from the powers of the world. He was a monk of the great Abbey of Cluny, Abbey of St. Peter in Cluny in France, which was at one time the largest monastery and had the largest church, even larger than St. Peter. No wonder the Masons, during the Masonic Revolution in 1789, they tore it all to pieces. They hated Cluny, because from Cluny came forth a new birth for the Church of the liturgy, of Gregorian chant, and of many, many things which we still hold dear to ourselves, including All Saints' Day, All Souls' Day. And so Gregory was Hildebrand from Cluny, an abbot who had later on gone to Rome and served the church in Rome. And when he was elected, he took the name of Gregory the Seventh. His body, which is buried not far from St. Peter's, in a church that was built by St. John the 23rd, nevertheless is a place of great pilgrimage because St. Gregory fought the world. In fact, he was the one who commanded the emperor who had offended him and who refused to pay his tithe. That's how important tithing is. He commanded the emperor to go outside the castle, the papal castle of Canossa, where he stayed in the snow and in a snowstorm for 3 days on his knees before the Pope would forgive him. In those days, penance was not three Hail Marys. 3 days he stayed in the snow, the emperor, the Holy Roman Emperor. And then he gave in, he submitted to the Pope, paid his tithes, and was restored to his office by the Holy Father. So St. Gregory the Seventh is a great model for popes. And we pray to him that through his intercession and his power in heaven, that God may grant us a pope like him in the near future to fight the world and to fight the devil, just as our Lord fought the devils. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.